This episode is brought to you by our friends who can protect your data and anonymize your activity at expressvpn.com/Charlie. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Protect yourself against big tech and big brother. Hey, everybody. Why is it that we can't talk about the vaccine? And did you know tech companies are censoring conversations around the vaccine? Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Are you getting the vaccine? Are you taking the vaccine? Are you worried about the vaccine? Or maybe you're very pro-vaccine. I take no stance on that. I'm merely asking questions and wondering why we're not allowed to talk about it. If you'd like to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you'd like to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you know that over 80% of the population is deficient in magnesium, and magnesium is the number one mineral to fight stress, fatigue, and sleep issues? My work schedule has been rather hectic lately, and I'm noticing it's starting to wear me down, even when I'm getting all my workouts in. In fact, I still feel like I'm stressed. That's why I'm excited to share with you more about a magnesium product I discovered. Magnesium powers over 600 critical reactors in our bodies, but don't just grab any magnesium pill. The one I recommend is Magnesium Breakthrough because it combines all 7 essential forms of magnesium into one convenient supplement. Most magnesium supplements fail because they are synthetic and they're not full spectrum. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded. With one more simple action, you reverse your magnesium deficiency. Fight fatigue, feel more at ease, feel less anxious. This is by far the most complete magnesium product ever created, and I highly recommend it. Today you can get 10% off at magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Coupon code 10, that's magbreakthrough, promo code Kirk, magbreakthrough.com/Kirk, enter code Kirk10, that's magbreakthrough.com/Kirk, enter code Kirk10, feel relaxed, magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. So a story that I'm more and more interested in that you're not allowed to talk about is this whole idea of forced vaccinations. I'm just more curious about this. So there's this pathological fascination with mass inoculation, with mandating people to get the vaccine. And so maybe the vaccine is the right decision for you. Maybe you decided to get the vaccine. Maybe you did your research, you understand that. But then we're not allowed to have any sort of conversation around this at all. This is a no-go zone. And what I've been actually really surprised at is how many conservative pundits and people that have broadcasts and people that are kind of trusted with a big audience, Tucker Carlson being the exception to this, that have totally ignored the story. Now, anytime I ask questions about vaccines, people get super emotional about them in the medical community. Like, how dare you question them? There's no other way to handle issues than mass inoculation. I was just asking a question, such as, are there any downsides? Why is it that there is a vaccine adverse event reporting system set up by our own government? How much has been distributed from that vaccine adverse event reporting system? What are the ingredients of the vaccine? If the ingredients in the vaccine are rooted in mRNA, which is a ribonucleic acid, which is the active ingredient in the vaccine, then what are the mRNA molecules that contain genetic material that provide the instructions to the body on how to make a viral protein that will then trigger the immune response for our bodies? If all that happens, what are the potential adverse reactions to that? I was just with a very good friend of mine, and he was telling a story of how 10 years ago, he was having dinner with his son, and his son all of a sudden couldn't get out of the booth they were having dinner in. Basically, loss of function from his waist down. They go immediately to the emergency room, and the first question that the emergency room doctor asks is, oh, has he gotten a vaccine recently? And he said, well, he got the flu shot. And so this is exactly what just happened to Eric Clapton when he got the vaccine, when he himself said that he was having loss of function in his hands and in his feet when he took it. We now know that 9 New York Yankees players tested positive for Chinese coronavirus after getting the vaccine. And so I'm just a guy that wants to be told the truth. And when we have decided to have this unbelievable push forward towards inoculating all of civilization, I think we should be given certain assurances. So here's a very basic question. Why is it that so many people that work for the Center for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health have denied the vaccine, rejected it, said they don't want to get vaccinated? That's a really interesting question. Why is no one in the mass media asking that question? And so the more I dive into this, the actual less information I get. And so there's this fascination that we must always trust our experts. What happens when the experts are wrong? So let's just go back in the Wayback Machine 1 year. Almost everything they've told us about the Chinese coronavirus, from where it originated to how to handle it, to their backtracking, and then they're now religious further with masks, has been changing or untrue. The opposite of the truth. For example, let's just take something that's so easy to describe, which is steroids. Steroids, and I always travel with steroids because I have a bad back. I take them. I only took them once 2 years ago. But steroids will get your muscles to lay off. So for me, I have an L4, L5 problem in the lower back issue. Thankfully, thanks to a lift in my shoe, I've been able to fix a lot of those issues. And thanks to a specific doctor in Florida. And so essentially what happens is the jelly donut, which is the disc in my vertebra, will leave its natural position and go up against the sciatic nerve, and my muscles will then tense up, and it's very, very painful, shooting down the left side of my body. Now, you might ask, how did I get that? I used to run 15 miles a day, was a little bit too committed to that. Different story for a different time. But steroids work really, really well. Steroids get those muscles to relax, and it gives your body a little bit of a breather. Now, of course, they're artificial intervention, obviously. But we know much more about how steroids operate than some sort of mass inoculation emergency use vaccine. And so Senator Rand Paul, very early on, I remember talking to him about this on the phone. In fact, I think I saw him at Mount Rushmore in July of last year. And Rand said, one of the main things we have to do is administer steroids instead of ventilators. Now, the ventilator thing was one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated on the mass population. Evidence now shows from scientific inquiry that ventilators had an adverse effect, that it was actually doing the opposite, not keeping people alive, but actually recirculating the virus and possibly killing them. So steroids are now part of the official treatment policy of how we actually handle the Chinese coronavirus. So that's just one very simple example. So why is it that we are not focused on therapeutics, but we're always focused on the vaccine? Well, let's just say what we know to be true, that the massive pharmaceutical companies have made billions of dollars from this vaccine. Billions of dollars. The school year is ending and families are making plans to send their kids to summer camp. But kids with a mom or dad in prison are often forgotten and overlooked. That's where Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Camps come in. Hi, this is Charlie Kirk, and I'm partnering again this year with Prison Fellowship to send 163 kids to camp this summer. Their lives will never be the same, and neither will yours when you help send a kid to camp. A one-time donation of $200 provides a scholarship to send a kid to an Angel Tree summer camp where they can build a relationship with a caring camp counselor, hear the gospel, and experience the love of God in the great outdoors. If you have fond memories of a summer camp experience, you can help make a child have some of those best memories one can have. $200 sends one child to camp. Your donation of any amount will help. Call 888-206-2802. That's 888-206-2802. Or go to charliekirk.com to make your donation today. Help a kid go to summer camp, charliekirk.com. In a way that only could be described as the highest form of tragedy, the first man who received the Chinese coronavirus vaccine in the United Kingdom was a man by the name of William Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. You should too. Whether it be The Tempest, to Macbeth, to Julius Caesar, to Mark Antony and Cleopatra, it's phenomenal. And so much of our English language, things that we use, all's well that ends well, doth protest too much. So much of the English language and our morals and our values and the pursuit of virtue and this idea of tragedy, all of it comes from Shakespearean drama. Of course, they're trying to get rid of it from our university. So a man by the name of William Shakespeare was the first person to get the approved Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. He died yesterday from a stroke. His name's William Shakespeare, the first person to get the vaccine, and he died from a stroke. Now, is anyone in the activist media covering this? Very few people, because they say, sit down, shut up, get the vaccine, everything's going to be fine. So we're not going to lay off of this issue. I'm not going to take big stances on this issue. I'm going to let other people do that. But I find the more people oppose me talking about this, the more curious I get about this issue. The more people say, you're not allowed to say that. Trust the science. I say, okay, show me the scientific method on why there have been 4,863 reported deaths. More people died from the vaccine, according to VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, than died at Pearl Harbor in 9/11. That's an interesting question. What are the other possible side effects? Does it have any sort of impact on female fertility? Why is it that I talk to people, they say they felt worse from getting the vaccine than from actually getting the Chinese coronavirus? They were in bed for days. Or how about this? According to the CDC, over 10,000 COVID-19 infections among people who are fully vaccinated. We're going to dive deeper into this vaccine thing. But first, New Hampshire auditor came out and just said that the audit has revealed that there's no widespread fraud. Now, to an untrained eye, that seems like, oh, okay, maybe there's nothing to see here. What number is widespread? Would you think that 1% is widespread? No. 1% is not widespread. But 1% is the margin of which Donald Trump lost Arizona and Georgia. And I think he lost Pennsylvania by 1.2%. So the question is not widespread. We want a number. So don't fall victim to this sort of semantic games that these people are playing on us. No. What's the number? How much is it? Not large, not big, not extensive, not universal, not common. No. Not ubiquitous. I want a number. Be specific, okay? So tell us how much fraud there was, because basically you're admitting that there was fraud. When you say that there was no widespread fraud, you're saying that there was some form of fraud. So how much was it? So Biden won Pennsylvania by 1.17%. So if you got a 98% on your test with your teacher, you would not say that it was a widespread failure. You'd say that you did very well. But you'd say that 2% is some room for improvement. It's just a very simple question, which is, what's the number? Stop with this non-specific. I have a list right here of all the synonyms of widespread. I think they've used all of them at the New York Times and the Washington Post when talking about this. No evidence of epidemic voter fraud. No evidence of permeating voter fraud. No evidence of pervasive voter fraud. No evidence of rampant voter fraud. No evidence of blanket voter fraud. No evidence of broad voter fraud. No evidence of rife voter fraud. No evidence of prevalent voter fraud. No evidence of predominant voter fraud. No evidence of far-reaching voter fraud. No evidence of across-the-board voter fraud. No evidence of all-around voter fraud. No evidence of all-inclusive voter fraud. No evidence of all-embracing voter fraud. No evidence of ubiquitous, omnipresent, common, universal. I've heard them use all of this. But what's the number? So what's the number of widespread? Everyone would have a different number. If you asked a normal person, would you say that is 1% widespread? That's small, obviously. In fact, based into our normal language and just practical wisdom, judgment that normal people have, you would say that 5% is not widespread. Hello? If 2% of it was done improperly, Donald Trump's president. 2%. That simple. Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona. 2%. And then maybe Michigan or Wisconsin. Can't remember the electoral map. I actually think if you would have won Pennsylvania, Georgia. The point is 2%. So this is a newspeak, very deceptive, treacherous way to describe what's happening. I want a number. Okay, so I want to say, okay, actually, 0.4% of the election was done improperly and fraudulent. Thank you. Stop using platitudes. No more abstractions. Get very, very specific. I mean, could you imagine if you had a doctor diagnose you and say, here's the good news. There's no widespread problems with you. The bad news is you have a tumor in your brain. You just said there's no widespread problems. You're right, but there is a 3-inch tumor, which by definition is not widespread. So that's the good news. Well, but the tumor could possibly kill me. Yeah, but again, you're widespread healthy. You're commonly healthy. You're more healthy than not. Of course, you understand the example I'm making, which is these auditors that come out and these apparatchik politicians, they use language that is so imprecise intentionally to try to stop a conversation. So the next question that needs to be asked is, what's the number? How much? Is it 1% of voters on the voter rolls that shouldn't have been there? Is it 5%? Is it 7%? Because we're talking about being in charge of our country based on the margins. We're talking about whether or not we're going to have Black Lives Matter flags on George Floyd's memorial or American flags based on 1% or 2%. We're talking about the Keystone Pipeline working and thousands of jobs happening or not based on 1% or 2%. So the allegation of widespread is an Orwellian manipulative tactic to try to stifle inquiry and discussion and debate. We should demand a number, something that they've never given us, but they've admitted it's there because they say widespread. They never say, well, there is absolutely no fraud. No, they wouldn't say that because they know it's not true. You guys have heard me talk about MyPillow before. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. You guys know Mike Lindell, and if you want to support Mike Lindell and get a beautiful pillow, very comfy, and you know they won't go flat. You can wash and dry them many times. And you got to go to MyPillow.com. They're made in America for a limited time. And Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. That's $40 savings. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listeners tab and use promo code Kirk. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper. So go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Going back to this idea that you're not even allowed to question the vaccine, well, where is most of the conversations happening? Most of the conversations are happening online on social media. And Republicans, of course, have decided to do nothing when it comes to social media. Instead, they decided to cut the corporate taxes of the tech companies. But now, thanks to Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, who is just hitting home run after home run, grand slam after grand slam. I'm a big James O'Keefe fan. He's a frequent guest on this podcast. There are now leaked internal documents detailing a new effort to censor any sort of vaccine concerns. In fact, they have a score of whether or not you're going to abide by the vaccination score. You see, Big Brother and the party, they need to profile you in case you might become a problem. Cut 36.
Facebook uses classifiers in their algorithms to determine certain content to be what they call vaccine hesitant, or they call it vaccine hesitancy. And without the user's knowledge, they assign a score to these comments. It's called a VH score, vaccine hesitancy score. And based on that score, we'll demote or leave the comment alone, depending on the content within the comment. So the main document, along with all the attachments and stuff that goes with it. So basically, when they write this algorithm, it goes through Facebook content, and it looks for certain keywords that are related to vaccination or, you know, not getting a vaccine and stuff like that.
So, no, that was not an ISIS recruitment video, for those of you asking. This was a guy that he had to disguise his voice because he works for Facebook. Stay anonymous because they'll try to destroy his life. And so I know that might have been hard to hear, but basically he was saying that there was an effort to censor vaccine concerns on a global scale. He continues to explain how they have this software working in many different languages so it can be implemented worldwide. Listen to the best you can, cut 37.
But they actually lay all this out in a chart, and you can see, it, you can look at the slides, they go by date. So we've got here COVID-19 back safety and efficacy global, currently global, 13 languages, Facebook plus Instagram. LC19 vaccine global, currently global, 66 languages. And the very first thing that that brought me to the conclusion that they wanted to do this globally is they were developing it in, like, you know, as many languages as they could get their hands on.
So this is like a product launch almost.
Yes, yeah. In their last quarterly report, they reported 2.79 billion people on Earth use some kind of Facebook app.
The easiest way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but allow lively debate within that spectrum. Noam Chomsky, who's exactly right. Cut 38, whistleblower on how if you are determined to be a vaccine hesitant, tier two, your comments will be suppressed because it does not match the narrative for getting vaccinated and you are now an enemy of society. Cut 38.
So we have tier two, indirect discouragement. And what happens when you are a tier two?
So basically, your comment is going to be suppressed. As to the scale of that suppression, it's hard to say. You have to look at it like a case-by-case basis. But what they're saying is it's going to get, they call it a position change.
So they're reporting facts, but truth doesn't matter.
No, because it doesn't match the narrative. So, and the narrative being, get the vaccine. The vaccine is good for you. Everyone should get it. And if you don't, you will be singled out.
Right.
As an enemy of society.
And then cut 39, the whistleblower says that stopping this is more important than him or her losing his job, their job, because this can spread from only regulating comments to entire posts and then the entire internet. You are not allowed to question a vaccine. I'm not asked the question, why is it that more people have died from the vaccine, according to the VAERS website, then died at 9/11 or Pearl Harbor. Cut 39.
Where do you think this is headed? Does it get worse from here?
Yes.
How so?
They see that this is accepted by the public, and then they go, that's like a green light to be like, oh, we can go ahead and do this more. So not only are we going to start doing vaccine stuff, we're going to spread it to everything. So we're going to start saying, if you make a post that could put somebody in danger, or it could compromise someone's safety, whatever that means, then we're going to go ahead and look at that and assign that a score of some unknown classifier, who knows what it could be. They're trying to control this content before it even makes it onto your page, before you even see it. The policy is going to keep expanding until anything can violate it. What would happen if this was scaled larger and scaled to Twitter and the internet as a whole is way worse than anything that could happen from me getting fired from my job.
So I know some of that was hard to listen to just from because they had to disguise that person's voice. That's an insider that is revealing that Facebook is going on a massive censorship and profiling, like a social score, on your likelihood or willingness to advertise Big Pharma. And I find this so interesting and fascinating. I actually miss the liberals I used to hate. I actually don't hate them anymore. I want to find them. You see, growing up in the conservative movement, conservatives used to think that corporations and these massive global institutions were on our side. We used to think that, oh, isn't it wonderful that we're able to develop all this wonderful, these amazing pharmaceutical innovations and yay, research and development and more pill pushing. And of course they should be able to advertise. And isn't it great that we have people in Southeast Ohio that can get opioids so quickly? Like, that was the conservative movement. That was in 2012, 13, and 14, which was just this mindless repetition, the incantation of the corporate oligarchy. The liberals that I used to grow up with that I miss because they've all gone so woke and they forgot their own roots. And I'm kind of defending what they used to defend. This whole realignment is so fascinating. And if we weren't kind of stuck in this framework, this spectrum that's so boring and like, oh, I hate you because you're on the right and you're a white person. Like, really, I'm actually saying things that you said 10 years ago that I think you still believe, which were the Democrats. Again, I disagree with them on so much stuff, obviously on abortion and gay marriage and drug legalization. But the Democrats that I used to grow up with that I actually really admire, because I at least do admire, these kind of Dennis Kucinich Democrats that were basically so against anything the corporations were pushing. Anything from Big Pharma, anything from these massive institutions, they hated bigness. Now, one of the reasons why America was working for so long is because the Dennis Kucinich types, again, Dennis Kucinich was very radical in a lot of stuff, from war and other stuff. But I always kind of admired him because I think he was like the former mayor of Cleveland. There was just kind of this charming quality to him where you kind of felt like he was on this crusade. And even though you hated him, you were kind of cheering for him. There was kind of this element that you knew he wasn't going to win, but it was kind of the 1 versus 16 matchup in March Madness. So it was kind of like these play-in games that Alabama has when Alabama plays, Fulton Community College and the score is 64-0 in the first quarter. You're like, please get a first down. I really want you. That's kind of Dennis Kucinich's, right? You knew that he was going to fail, but you were cheering for him because he was just a sweet guy, even though he was in some ways very, very collectivist. I wouldn't put him as a Marxist, though. So there was this Democrat that existed in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. And by the way, Bernie Sanders used to be this guy until he decided he wanted power and fame and popularity and money, and all this stuff, which was kind of the sovereignty Democrats. And the sovereignty Democrats, obviously I disagree with them on so much, but I agree with them on a lot, which is that you should have the right to self-determination, that we don't like a bunch of Goldman Sachs bankers telling us how to live. And screw you, we're going to go to the hills of Vermont. And if we want to go do wacky and crazy stuff, we're going to do that because we're kind of into this whole kind of Eastern meditative thing. And you're not going to vaccinate us and you're not going to teach our children. And by the way, we want our firearms, which is why Vermont has some of the most relaxed firearm laws in the entire nation. People don't know that. So these kind of sovereignty Democrats, there's no place for them, by the way, in the Democrat Party. This is, you are not allowed to believe any of this. You're not allowed to believe that in borders, in separation, in splicing and dicing to be able to determine your own life, none of that. So I don't know where these people went, but I grew up with Democrats like this. I am waiting for the Garrison Keillor Democrat to come back, the Little Home on the Prairie, which was, by the way, one of my favorite shows on NPR growing up because it was so interesting. And it was Garrison Keillor. He got Me Too'd, probably way overreaction to it. And Al Franken was kind of this vein. Al Franken was kind of a jerk. But Garrison Keillor used to have the show on National Public Radio, which was always really interesting, where, and if any of you guys know it, please email me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, where it was kind of this romanticism of small America. And I remember Republicans and the business types used to make fun of Garrison Keillor, like, oh, you want to make us live in the 1960s, or how dare you? And of course, now I kind of love it. And I re-listened to some of the Garrison Keillor tapes, and it's really interesting. He used to talk about how they'd have the local minister and the local doctor, and everyone walked everywhere, and everyone knew each other's name. And it was Republicans that used to reject that. Anyway, Democrats are now totally into the hyper-urbanization, the overindulgence in technology, excess of individualism. And so in a weird way, now Republicans are now representing the Bernie Sanders, Dennis Kucinich types. Anyway, what am I getting at with this? I'm getting at that this massive vaccination push, I think, is actually going to reveal these fault lines. I think this is a step too far for the Vermont commune people, the West LA yoga moms, and the kind of Buddhist people that live throughout the hills of the Central Valley and in New Mexico, where they were the ones that are like anti-war, pot smoking, but like really strict on immigration and caring about the nation that they're in, or caring about whatever domain that they exist in. Those sort of Democrats now call themselves Republicans, but I think that there's a massive opening here because I actually think these ideas are somewhat inevitable. And this is why it's a working theory I have, which is that the non-psycho environmentalists are actually partners potentially for the conservative movement. That the non-psycho, what do I mean by non-psycho? You know, the people that don't worship the earth for the sake of that, that aren't into kind of self-indulgent paganism and want to get rid of all the fossil fuels, people that are kind of like Teddy Roosevelt where I am, which I love untouched natural beauty, and you believe that something should be preserved and conserved because they're beautiful and wondrous. That you don't want to build a shopping mall at Grand Teton National Park. That's just not something that I have a desire to do. But then basic in that philosophy is this idea that something shouldn't change, is the anchoring of permanence. And there's something to that because I miss those old Democrats. I miss them. In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. At thinker.org, they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you an access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. I've used Thinker. I use it almost every single day to digest big ideas quickly and easy to understand. So if you want to challenge your preconceptions, learn something new every day, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org. That's thinkr.org to start a free trial today. Again, that's thinker.org. I miss the Democrats of old. I miss the Garrison Keillor Democrats, the Democrats that cared about preserving things that worked, that were local. And the best way I could describe this is the Democrats have gone from, or the left, they've gone from a party that used to value the small and challenge the big to now infiltrate and worship the big to crush the small. If you don't want to live in Brooklyn, there's now something wrong with you. If you don't want to all of a sudden get the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, there's something wrong with you. If you don't want to go invade Syria, now there's something wrong with you. And I actually don't think this is sustainable. This is one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic. And just the more I'm in politics, the more I'm just so exhausted. I'm just so bored by the, oh, I hate you because you're a Democrat and I hate you because you're a social, I mean, or I like you because you're a Republican. I'm just kind of looking at things that matter and the hierarchy of how we should actually value our society and order our society. And so if you're a Democrat that's going to call out corporate interests, I'm going to hear you out. And again, so we as conservatives, we believe in this three-tied knot, right? And Edmund Burke talked about this, that from the between the dead and those that came before us, the living, the present, us, and those yet to be born. We must honor the sacrifices that came before us and where we came from, the living and that around us, and those people that have yet to be born. And if you look at, I think things are changing way too quickly. There's very little permanence and there's a lot of progress. And I think the Democrats indulging in the cult of progress is actually going to open up a massive opportunity for us conservatives. Huge. Because the activists that used to tie themselves to sequoia trees and scream at the top of their lungs because they love those specific trees, I actually have a special kind of place of kind of, let's just say, admiration for that. Because rooted in that kind of environmentalism, and it might have been dumb or foolish or whatever, is, no, I like this. Don't change it. And maybe what's going to come next is wrong. And now, look, conservatives, and Edmund Burke wrote about this, but Russell Kirk wrote about this as well, is that if you're going to change things, they must be rooted in your traditions, must be done slowly and deliberately and empirically. So if you're going to implement something that is going to be helpful for a nation, then don't just rush towards it and don't just do it for the sake of doing it. As Lord Falkland said, that if it is not necessary to change something, it's necessary to not change it. There must be a reason to change it. And so I remember these Democrats growing up, and I actually have a fond admiration for them. The problem is that they've become so pathologically focused on this racial thing that almost all of their needs, wants, and concerns that used to exist have been taken by the wayside. All of them. The stuff that I actually wish they'd still be fighting on, which is, hey, why don't we preserve small businesses, not let Jeff Bezos take over the world? That's probably a good idea. Or I remember even Democrats that used to be the fighters for really big families. If you want to go put Elizabeth Warren on defense, go read her book that's really good that says The Two-Income Trap, where she used to say, hey, it's not a good thing that women have to enter the workforce in order to stay in a middle-class lifestyle. Now Elizabeth Warren is so just, she just wants power and just, she wants to be relative, she wants to be, she wants to be popular, she wants to be current, she wants to be, there's a word I'm looking for, relative, I guess is the right word. And she doesn't want to be kind of cast aside. And so she's always trying to be like outwoke somebody and introduce these bills that are not rooted in any sort of reason and constantly turning one group against the other. But I see a massive opportunity. If you can just remove the framework that we've been existing in and just ask some very simple questions, which is, do you want to preserve the small and the beautiful and challenge the big? That's big government, big bureaucracy, big corporatism, big business, big pharma, big military, big globalism. Do you think that people should have the right to self-determination? Do you think that Eastern Oregon should be living under the tyranny of Kate Brown? I don't. Do you think that Western Virginia should be able to enter West Virginia? And what I'm getting at, though, is that the country is in this direction. The sooner that this actually gets articulated by a party, they're going to benefit from it. And as far as Democrats continue to be the ambassadors of the continually changing critical race theory, woke stuff is what we call it, it's inevitable they're going to lose if Republicans decide to pick up the ball and defend meaningful, ancestral, ancient institutions that have real impact on people's lives, not just abstractions. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from you. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.